Our scripture reading for this morning is the first verse of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There's an old story that's been told many times on this campus. I was told originally by a professor in our seminary, Professor Reverend Peterson. And it goes like this, and I believe it happened to him very early in his ministry when he was a young pastor. There was a Lenten service one night. He was serving a rural church up in northern Minnesota. It was very cold and blizzardy that night, and because of that, only about six people came to church. And so ahead of the service, he was debating whether they should even go ahead and have the service because there were so few people there. And finally, an older Norwegian man said to him, "Well, if only a few of my cows come to the trough, I still have to feed them, you know." So he decided, okay, I'll go ahead with the service. So he did the service and preached about a 30-minute sermon or so. Afterwards, as he was shaking hands with those few people coming out, the same elderly Norwegian man came up to him, and Pastor Peterson said to him, "Well, you're right. If only a few cows show up, you gotta still feed them." And the man says, "Eh, that's true, but I don't dump the whole load on them." Corporate worship is obviously a very important part of our lives as Christians. This week in the church year is often one that is set aside to focus on, just a little ahead of Pentecost, set aside to focus on the blessings God gives us through worship and through song. And we're blessed to have the children singing with us today. We thank you for that. The psalm in front of us is called one of the Psalms of Ascent. And there were 15 psalms in the Old Testament. And they were often used by Jewish people as they went to the temple on their way to Jerusalem. They would gather into caravans, and a lot of times they would sing these psalms together, just like hymns, as they went up to the temple. And you can find these words today engraved in stone on the entrance to what is known as the City of David in Jerusalem today. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And the reason going together to worship God is something that gladdens our heart is because, first of all, God here in worship goes about the work of strengthening us and keeping us in our faith in Christ as our Savior. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that just through words that are spoken and sung and spoken back and forth to each other in the liturgy, through all of this, this is how God creates faith in our dead hearts and brings them to life spiritually to love Jesus as our Savior so we can go to heaven. Just like Jairus' daughter, that little 12-year-old girl who was dead physically until Jesus spoke his words to bring her body back to life. That's how it is with us, the Bible says, spiritually. We are spiritually dead before God. There's no life in us. But through the power of his word and the message about Jesus, our Savior, and what he's done for us, God has brought us to life. And this is all his work and his doing. It's really kind of a simple process when you break it down. That just through words that are used to communicate and through the hearing of that word, that God does all of these fantastic things inside of us. Jesus said, "The words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life." That's really something. You see, worship is not about what we do for God. There's a little element of that involved. But the primary reason and purpose for worship is what God is doing for us, what he brings to us, the great benefits that happened on the cross when Jesus died and then rose again, how those are brought to us in the life of worship in the church. As a pastor, I used to have a point in the service when the offering plates were brought up and set on the altar. And when it was the same Sunday when we would be celebrating the Lord's Supper, I remember sometimes thinking, here are our paltry gifts, these little offerings we bring to God. Sometimes very stingy gifts sitting in these plates, and right next to it on the altar is the very body and blood of Christ, once those elements are consecrated, for the forgiveness of our sins, to give us life in heaven. Think of everything God does for us and how tiny and little what we bring to Him. And that's really a picture of what worship is. The focus and the magnitude of what takes in worship is what God has done and continues to do for us through the work of our Lord. Dr. C.F.W. Walther said this: "We do not worship in order to establish righteousness from God, but rather to receive it." And so when we come and worship, and even when we sing together about what Christ has done, all of those wonderful benefits from the cross come to us. And God gives those to us and strengthens us in our faith. That's why Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now, I know in my own life, I can tell how important God's word is and how important worship is by the fact that even inside of me, because of my sinful, evil heart, I still have a part of me that pushes against that and doesn't want to be a part of that, even though I know it is an amazing, wonderful, fantastic thing that I need to be a part of, according to the new man of faith in me. Years ago, a woman in my church in Florida used to complain to me about the fact that she couldn't get her husband to come to church, even though he'd been raised as a Christian as a child and into his teenage years, but he had now kind of pushed church away. And his reason for never wanting to go to worship, she said, was that Sunday morning was the best time to manicure his lawn. What an interesting conversation that will be between him and God someday on Judgment Day. But you should have seen my shrubs. You see, the longer that we possess something that's wonderful and valuable, the longer we have that in our midst and the more familiar we get with it, we have a tendency as human beings to kind of not appreciate it as much. And there's a danger that comes with that, with God's word and sacrament and with corporate worship as well. The fact that we have such freedom to do it and the fact that maybe we've had it in our lives our whole life can make us maybe appreciate it less because we're so familiar with it and it's so familiar to us. Already within about 35 years of our Lord Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension to heaven, some of the brand new Christians, probably some who even heard the apostles who witnessed the resurrected Lord, already some of them were starting to fall away from the faith and having to be reminded to come to corporate worship to stay in their faith. Well, another reason that worship is so wonderful for us is because it binds us together and brings us together with fellow believers on our way to heaven to strengthen us in our faith. Notice the words again. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" There's a communal aspect to this, a community aspect with fellow Christians in Christ, there to bolster each other. If I were to pick out one of the boys in the choir today that's here and give you one pencil and ask you to snap that over your knee, it probably wouldn't take too much to do that. But if I gave you 20 pencils with a rubber band around it and asked you to try to snap those, that would be a lot tougher and you probably wouldn't break a single one of them. And that's the way it is with us with corporate worship too. Corporate worship brings all of these fellow believers in Christ, the flock of sheep of Christ, together, and we bolster and strengthen one another in our faith. When I was a little child, my parents always taught me, during the prayers, you close your eyes, and during the sermon, you look at the pastor and listen to him. But during the creed, that's when we can look around in church. That's when it's good to look around in church and to see the fellow Christians who are standing there with you, united in their confession of their faith of Jesus as their Savior. And I love how at the end of that, of those creeds, we always conclude with words like this: "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen." And those are the same faces I expect to see standing in heaven with me someday. And so just like the Jewish Hebrew people used to call to each other to come into a caravan on their way to church to the temple, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Let's think that same way about the believers in Christ calling us to worship as we caravan to our eternal home. Amen. Please join me in the morning prayer on page 167. page 167. And let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.